Well, good morning. This morning, we've got a lot going on, and one thing that I'm very excited that we have going on is our vintage students are going on a camp this morning. Nolan, and I think it's six others, is that right? Or somewhere around there, yeah, are going to morning. Some of them are here this morning, and some of them are almost using Nolan as like an Uber driver, so they got to go pick them up. But we wanted to say, we wanted to pray for them. As they go, they're actually going to literally probably walk out right after this prayer. Nolan, could I call you guys out? If anyone's going to the camp, could y'all come down as well?
Yeah. You guys good? So this is four out of the six students that are going to camp. We'll be there all next week. I do want to pray, but I just wanted to say that the students at our church are just incredible examples of young believers that God is using in very powerful ways. I'm just constantly blown away. You guys don't listen to this because you get your head too puffed up. The more time I spend with them, the more I'm just impressed at their godliness and their love and their purity. And it's just awesome. And it's a privilege being with them. And if you don't know them, you guys should hang out with them because they're really cool sometimes. So I just wanted to pray and then ask you guys for this whole week to just continue praying for us. For safety and for fun as we're launching each other into lakes. But mostly, these guys here and there's some more of us in the youth group. They're leaders in their schools and on their teams. God has given each of these guys here a gift that whenever they walk into a room, people just look towards them and people just want to do what they do. And you guys have done that really well already, stewarding that for Jesus. And my prayer has always been, and I want our prayers to be, that you guys would just continue to fall in love with Jesus and just continue doing that for every day that you have. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for this week. God, I do pray for safety. I pray for fun. I pray that we would rest or meet friends and build lasting relationships, God. But I pray that you would just pursue each one of these boys, for Keegan and Reese and Andrew and Brady and Cameron and Tyler. Thank you. God, would you hunt them down and capture their heart and make them just fall in love with you over and over again? So that they would use what you have given them to just make much of your name. Would you make them examples of faith and of love and of boldness for us? Would we as a church come together around them and be encouraged and be strengthened and be boldened? And God, we just pray for this week. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the trip and the week. Man, let's continue to pray this week as they're at camp that God would do an incredible work, not just in their lives, but the other students that are at the camp as well. I would like us to read this passage again, and then we're going to jump into, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to kind of jump into the sermon here. So if you would, could you stand with me one more time as well? This is Philippians 3:12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let me pray for us. God, would you use your word here today? Would you use it in our hearts? Would you reveal any areas that you're just calling us back to yourself? Any areas and strongholds in our lives that just basically sin has a hold of? God, would you help us see those? God, I pray above and beyond everything, though, that today we would see you, Jesus Christ. Spirit, would you move in this place, in this room? And would you help us understand the necessity and the desire? God, would you help us understand and start even hearing possibly that upward call of God in Christ Jesus? God, we ask you to do your work in your way in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, we continue into chapter 3, which chapter 3 is a really interesting passage in Philippians. How many of you were here last week and with us? Yes, a lot of you were here. This passage begins with one of the strongest warnings. At the beginning of chapter 3, there's literally one of the strongest warnings Paul has in any of his letters. And he does this repetition. He's like, look out, look out, look out for these type of people. And it's strange. Who he says basically to look out for is his old self. It's these people that put confidence in their flesh. They actually want, they like Jesus, but they want more than Jesus. They want you to keep the law of the Old Testament. And they're called the Judaizers. They're kind of like the Pharisees, except they believe in Jesus. And Paul gives this big warning. Look out for these people. And particularly, he even says, I used to be this person. Like, if anyone has confidence in the flesh, it's like me. And what's interesting about this passage right before this is just the idea that sometimes it's the good works in our lives are the things that keep us from Jesus. Think about that. It's the good things that we can boast in. You heard Jesus' words? Hey, when you give, give in secret. When you pray, pray in secret. Because a lot of us, we live, you know, our lives with this, like, outward appearance. Like, hey, I'm doing this to be seen by others. My morality is to be seen by others. But, man, when John the Baptist showed up and he saw people like this, these Pharisees that were, like, on the outside, everything looked right. They're keeping all these commands. You know what he calls them? He looks like right in their face and he says, you brood of vipers. When Jesus shows up on the scene, you know what he calls these people? Whitewashed tombs. They had everything but God. They had their morality. They had the heritage. You know, they were really good people on the outside, but on the inside there was death. Think about this. The good things in your life might be keeping you from Jesus. It's the thing you can boast in that is really in danger. Like the awful thing, you know is wrong. You know it's wrong. You know that bad thing in your life, in your heart, your thought. You know that sin. And that sin is a good feeling you have. It's the scary part is when we're not convicted of the good things in our life. Oh, man, I'm just doing this for others. And so Paul gives us real warning. Watch out for these Judaizers that they like Jesus, but they need your, you know, they want you to have your own righteousness. a righteousness that's apart from Jesus. And he goes on to say right before this, I had to consider all my good things rubbish in order to what? Have Christ. He had to really change the way he's thinking. And so here, we're getting another passage that's in Philippians that has this really interesting thought going on. It's about working with God. Do you remember the passage? Some of you might have been here that said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who's working in you to do will and do his good pleasure. Man, there's this amazing thing in the Christian life where we get to walk and work with God. So what I want to be really clear on in this passage is we need to be careful when there's a passage on, hey, let's get working. We got to remember what comes right before this. Don't like do it like the Pharisees worked. Let's not work like the Pharisees. Our work is a lot different than Paul's old life. Okay, so we're going to dig into this today. What we really need, what really landed on my heart this week was this phrase in verse 12. If you would, read this with me. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That last phrase, Christ Jesus, I do this because Christ Jesus has made me his own, is really just, that's where my soul landed this week. The Greek word here is actually, he has taken hold of me. See, Paul doesn't have, he's saying, look, I kind of just made it sound real easy. Like, I considered everything rubbish. I'm taking hold of Christ. I'm going to do everything I can to get Jesus, like to get basically the resurrection where I'm with him. But he quickly goes on to say, no, I haven't perfected this. I'm not perfect. I'm not already there. This is like this walk that I'm going to do. And I'm going to try to, again, take hold. He wants to take hold of Christ because why? Because Christ has taken hold of him. What each of us needs to know, and each of us, this is whether we're a believer or not. If you're a believer, the most important part of your faith is to know you're hold, you're held. You've been taken hold of by Christ. He's got you. And what our striving is to take hold of him. It's like this mutual, like, I want him. He is taken hold. And the reason he can do that is because Jesus has made him his own. Here's what this phrase sounds like in the book of Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. It's, you know, I am my beloved's. Jesus has loved me. He has taken hold of me. And now life is kind of trying to figure out, and he is mine. Like, we're going to try to grab him. That is what this passage, a lot of this passage is this work that he's going to use this word press on. I press on to make it my own. He uses that word twice here. This pressing on is what we're called to do. Philippians has just so many encouraging passages here, though. At the very beginning in chapter 1, you know what? He who began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete it. God's going to do this work in us where he continues and continues to bring us to himself and to shape us and form us and make us into the image of Christ. And there's going to be, in chapter 1, he talks about this, the fruit of righteousness is just going to start in our lives. There's going to be a lot of good that happens when we're made in the image of God, but it's going to be a lot different than the Pharisees or those who just do things in order to be seen so that their righteousness is seen. I'm seen as a good person. Paul has just a much different view this morning. This morning, I want you to consider the most important part of this passage, and or at least for in my soul, is being in the arms of Christ. To know that reality will help you live a life that really can't be stopped, that nothing can stop you. What does this mean, though? You know, like, what in the world does it mean that I'm going to try to make this my own? I'm going to try to make this passage to have union with Christ my own. How do we do this? Well, in a letter, it's always good to go forward and back. The beginning of chapter 3, he tells us, here's what a believer is. Look at, it's right after the warning. There's all these people, they put all their confidence in their flesh. He says, watch out for these people. This is what a Christian is. This is what, when he says, for we are the circumcision, he's saying, basically, here's who Christians are. Listen to this description. We worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. This passage here, when he's saying, hey, I'm going to try to make this my own, you know how we're supposed to do this? He gives it to us right at the beginning of this section in Philippians 3. There's three things: worship, glory, and no confidence. So the three descriptors of to be a Christian are this: we worship how? By the Spirit of God. We are literally empowered to live lives. This is not just, hey, on Sunday, we come in this room and we do corporate worship. No, worship's an everyday thing. It's a you show up your job and you start worshiping. Work and worship are tied together. It's at your home. It happens all the time. But you know how you have to do that? The Christian life, you know how it has to be empowered and fueled? The Spirit. We cannot live a spiritual life without the Spirit of God. All of it's just acting. If it's outside of the Spirit of God, we're just not Christians. We worship. Everything we do is by the Spirit of God. Our work and our worship is by the Spirit of God. What do we glory in? Christ Jesus. And we can be interactive here, man. We can get loud. You can yell it out. I'm going to ask some questions today. We glory in Christ Jesus. This is really different than those who practice things so people can see them. What do people that are practicing good deeds in order to be seen, who are they glorying in? Themselves. They blow the trumpet. They let everybody know. You know, they post it. It's got to get public. You post it. Yeah, post that picture. Let them know. You gave. You did the thing. Jesus has some harsh words. Okay, you've got some credit. There you go. You've received what you wanted. You got seen by others. Their glory is in themselves. And so they get it when they, yeah, make it public. But Jesus wants something just so different for you. Self at the center of your life is going to kill you. Christians glory in Christ Jesus. All of our glory. It's not just, there's kind of two things here going on. We glory, one, in his person, who he is. Consider the nature of God, the Son. We get a great passage in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He humbled himself all the way to the point of death. I mean, this God is amazing. Like, his person, the God, fully man, that came, that gave his life so that many might be saved. I mean, the person of Jesus Christ we glory in his work, in what he did for us. In his life, death, and resurrection, we have a complete forgiveness. We have a complete justification, which means you've been made right. We have a complete salvation. Everything is complete. You know the last three words he says on the cross? It is finished. It's complete. He's fixed everything. We glory in his person. We glory in his work. This is what it means to be a Christian. If you're not excited about Jesus, be scared. I mean, it really is. If you can't come in here and read these lyrics on the song and your heart doesn't get something, ask Jesus, hey, what's going on this morning? Now, let me tell you this. Part of the Christian walk is a darkness that comes in your life where you've been walking with Jesus for a while, and there becomes a season where you think, hey, I'm not here, and he's not here. So you might be there. Let's say the words come up, and you're like, man, I don't know, I believe that. That's kind of part of the Christian walk, okay? Tell somebody about that, because God, it's amazing. In that kind of death, there is a resurrection that when we walk through those times, it is amazing what God does in our life. But look, Paul's saying we glory in Christ Jesus. And then what's the last thing? What this means, to make it my own. I'm going to do this thing we have no confidence in, the flesh. That's right. What does that mean? We have no confidence in ourselves. Here's what God's calling us to repent of today. Worshiping ourselves, glorying in ourselves, and putting confidence in ourselves. You can do it. No, you can't. The ultimate sign that you have confidence in yourself is a lack of prayer. If you do not pray, you are showing where your confidence is. It's the test. Let me give you an example. We go out deep sea fishing, but in the middle, you know, there's this weird cage on the boat. And all of a sudden, you know, this guy comes up. And he's like, hey, y'all are going to all go in the water, you know, 15 minutes each. You're going to see some sharks, some cool stuff out here, okay? How confident would you be in yourself to get in there without scuba gear, without any oxygen tanks? 15 minutes, can you do it? No way, that's right. There is no way you can do it. What would happen? Well, one, hopefully you'd get in that cage. But two, if you're underwater, what do you need? What are you desperate for underwater? Air. Here's an example. When you're underwater, very quickly you understand where your confidence is. I need something that's apart from myself in this situation. I need thee every hour, every minute, I need thee. If you're not praying, I'm just going to tell you, you don't think you need him. And you need to ask yourself, where's your heart? What do you think about yourself? Now, look, I'm going to tell you like Paul. And I'm so glad. Aren't you so glad the apostle says, I haven't perfected this? Not that I've already obtained this, but I press on I press on to make this my own. The good news, here is the incredible new good news of Jesus Christ. He tells you, stop hoping in yourself. Put no confidence in yourself. Stop it. You can't work your way to me. I came to you. I came down to save you. I did it. Put all your confidence in me. Hey, when you don't pray, you know whose confidence you should have? Man, you know what? I'm not praying. I'm glad my confidence isn't in myself. God, would you help me? That's the nature. Prayer is desperation. Prayer is desperation. God, if you do not show up even in my own soul, I cannot do this. I worship by your Spirit, God. I can't even worship rightly without you. I glory in Christ Jesus. I have no confidence in myself. I am so glad that is the definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Aren't you glad that we have to put no confidence in our flesh? I'm so glad about that because you know what? I don't have it down. It's not that I've already obtained this. But listen what he says in verse 13 and 14. Paul goes on in Philippians 3. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, Paul is serious. He's like, I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm straining forward to what's ahead. He is giving you this life of activity. He is going to, with all his might, work towards this. Again, what is he working towards? Strangely, desperation. He is not working towards the path of his old ways where he says, you know, I was the Benjamite. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was blameless according to the law. He's not striving towards that. You know what he wants? He wants Jesus. He wants Jesus with all of his being. And in this path of desperation, we get to see the working power of God. God works in the low. In Philippians 2, this passage that we've been meditating on, hopefully just every week, man, the power of God was seen in Jesus Christ humbling himself. The passage says he emptied himself. And Jesus Christ displayed the very power of God. Jesus is our way. This is not a passage of, man, I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to do this thing unlike Jesus. You know how Jesus strained to what's ahead? He gave up. He emptied himself. This straining is so much different than his Pharisaical self that was like, I've got to do this good thing. I've got to do this good thing. I've got to go to church. I've got to. This is so different. This, what he is calling to us is like seriously the folly of God. It's folly. It seems foolishness. It's like, wait, what? So I don't get into heaven if I just like go to church often, give, you know, every now and then. Kind of, I'm a lot better than my neighbor, you know, at least. That's not how it works. It works by worshiping by the Spirit of God, glorying in Christ Jesus, delighting in him, saying he is my everything, he is my righteousness, he is my sanctification, he is the one that is empowering me. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, for he is working in me both to will and do his good pleasure, both desire it and act on it. I mean, look at Paul. Look at what he did. Man, people that empty themselves, how much work do they accomplish? What did Jesus accomplish? A lot. What did Paul accomplish? A lot. But here's this is important. Some of us are trying to just accomplish things, possibly to be seen. It starts with emptying yourself. It starts with humility. This is the way of Jesus Christ. Man, and I love that phrase. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? Commentators say it's a couple different things. One is he's given this race analogy, right? So one, in a race, it really would be like weird to look backwards. Runners, you never see Olympic, you know. Usain Bolt does it a couple times. Like he's way out there, bam, pride, you know, getting you. But most runners, they got to keep looking ahead. They don't look behind. They're straining forward. That upward call of God, there was an interesting term in the Greek and Roman world. This upward call was an athletic term. So at the very end of a race, sometimes even the emperor himself would get up and announce the winner. So it could be something like this. You know, man, I'm running for that prize, which is at the very end, God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, that's one thing it could mean. The other part could just mean the upward call of God is like God. The goal is to be one with God. You know, at the very end of our Bibles, this new city, is Jerusalem, is coming down to the new earth. And God says that now he is going to be with his people. It's just like he's with us. There's some options here. Either way, man, I want to run for that day. This is what Paul is saying, like, I'm running, I'm pressing on, I'm putting all of my energy to that one day when it will be perfect. Man, I'm not perfect right now, but it will be perfect. All things are going to be made new, including myself, my heart. I will know what complete dependence looks like in heaven, and it will be a life of complete power. That is the crazy thing about the Christian walk, is complete dependence and complete kind of power go together in the life of Jesus Christ. This is an amazing thing. Look, Jesus Christ has made us his own. This morning, I was trying to think through a passage that maybe just showed this in Jesus, like how he has taken hold of us. And the Greek word underlining part of this passage led me to a passage in Luke where Jesus comes to take hold and touch. In Luke's gospel, in Luke 5, 12 through 16. And a lot of this passage just stands out to me of, I want you to consider the touch of God and the power that it can have in your life. Some of you this morning, you've never met Jesus. Some of you, you have, but consider yourself maybe that man full of leprosy, but read this with me. When Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed from their infirmities. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. There's two things going on in this passage that I want to stand out, show you. One is the power of Jesus' touch. To the man that was unclean and full of leprosy, this man comes and just falls on his face and humbles himself to Jesus and says, if you will, you can make me clean. That is the picture of the Christian life. Is a true dependency on our Savior. Mark's gospel tells us that when Jesus saw him, he was moved with compassion. This morning, you need the touch of Jesus in your life. He heals you. He takes hold of you. This passage I love is he makes you his own. If you have not met Jesus, I want to invite you this morning to come to him like this man that was full of leprosy. Just say, Jesus, I know you can make me better. You know my sin. You know the situation that I am in this moment. Would you give me life? To any person that comes to our Savior and asks for life, he gets moved with compassion and he freely gives life to them. Would you consider what that might look like for you today? Secondly, man, this healing got Jesus a ton of attention. These great crowds want to hear. And you know what Jesus did? I mean, I just think it's amazing. All these people come to be healed for his infirmities. And Luke says, but he would withdraw to the desolate places and pray. Jesus shows us the way. Jesus had, in some ways, the path of that no confidence in the flesh for us. He always needed the Spirit himself. I mean, he would go to pray and just to be with his Father. And that would empower him to live his life. He would know where to go, what to do. It would empower him because he was dependent on the Father. Over and over in the Gospels, we get to see that he was actually led along and moved by the Spirit. He did miracles by the Spirit of God. Jesus himself shows us how to be human. For a lot of us, I want that line of, man, a lack of prayer shows where you have confidence in yourself. Would you be like Jesus and get away so that you can show him, God, I need you. And not to like do things, like I need you to do this in my life. I myself need you yourself. I need you. That is the cry of every human heart. And Jesus shows us the way. This is what we're called to do, is to long and stretch forward. I love that. Not look behind, but strain forward for this, which is life with God. That is what a total dependency on him, to worship by the Spirit, put no confidence to glory in Christ and put no confidence in the flesh or in ourselves. Let me read this for us. It's from the Message. I just love the way Eugene Peterson translated this passage, and with this we'll be done. He puts this passage this way. I am not saying that I, Paul, have this all together and that I have it made, but I am on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out and grabbed me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Would you this morning run to Jesus? Forget what lies behind and strain to be with Christ. Let's be a church like that. Let's be a church that has no confidence in ourselves. I want to do that. I want to be that church that has no confidence in ourselves and that we pray, God, would you bring complete revival to us and to our world? Let's do that. Let's follow. Let's be that church who worships by the Spirit, glories in Christ Jesus, and puts no confidence in ourselves. Let me pray for us. Father, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful that all of our confidence gets to be from you, gets to be put completely in you. God, would you give us this heart that Paul has, which is, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to forget what lies behind. I'm going to press on and strain and strive for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Would you help us be a desperate church? A church that knows if you don't show up, nothing real happens. The true growth that you desire, Holy Spirit, would you make that happen? We cannot do that. God, would you reveal to us in our own church, in our own selves, God, is there a sin or is there something in my life, in our life, that you're just calling us to repent of? God, would you move just in this place today in the way that you would allow people to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are yours and you are theirs. It's in Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen.